All of this month's sermons or services are based around what other people have chosen, and I've got another 17 in the pipeline to kind of follow through. And I'm happy to do that and to kind of work around it. In fact, somebody put, make sure it's not on a certain date, because that's always a date they're going away on holiday, and I can assure that person, if you're there, that it would be on that date, because that date's already taken. The other thing, I would like to have, particularly for December, is, are there any folks that have anything about Christmas or Christmas themes that they would like preached on? If you've got that, that would be really great. But I do really value what you're doing. Some have picked themes, other people have picked Bible passages, and it's really quite encouraging that you want to participate in this. Now, the passage that's been chosen by someone, I don't know who this person is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, but in particular, this person wanted verse 2 to be what the sermon was all about. So John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to his disciples on his final night with them here on earth. Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. And I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together. You know the way to where I'm going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way?" "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus answered. "Without me, no one can go to the Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. But from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Show us the Father. That's all we need." And Jesus replied, "Philip, I've been with you for a long time. Don't you know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you ask me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that I am one with the Father and that the Father is one with me? What I say isn't said on my own. The Father who lives in me does these things. Have faith in me when I say that the Father is one with me and that I am one with the Father. Or else have faith in me simply because of the things I do. I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, you will do the same things that I am doing. You will do even greater things now that I am going back to the Father. Ask me and I will do whatever you ask. This way the Son will bring honor to the Father. I will do whatever you ask me to do." Amen, and may God bless to us that reading. "There are many rooms in my Father's house." And then what follows from that is what we're looking at today. There are many rooms in my Father's house. What Jesus is doing is talking about the future. And he's talking about where all of his disciples one day were going to be together. And so what he's doing is he's talking to us as well about the future, about our Father's house. In other words, we are all on a journey, and our Father's house is the destination. Our Father's house is the place that we are going to be going. We will one day leave this place where we are. We will one day leave this house that we possess, if you like, and we will be going to our Father's house. So I wonder just to kind of tease out what it is that Jesus is referring to here. And I wonder whether Jesus is reflecting back on Psalm 90. And in Psalm 90, the psalmist says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home, or you have been our house, as it's also translated. And there you see the psalmist is trying to understand who he and who Israel is in relation to God. And he sees the relationship with God as one where the people of God are perfectly at home with their Father. Through all the generations, you have been our home. Now, I think I've used this illustration before, but it's one which you will understand and one which will resonate with you, I hope. When my mother died, and after my mother died, my mother was the second of my parents to die, I remember driving by the house where she lived, which I had always referred to as my home. Now, I had two homes. I had my home with my wife and my family, and my home with my parents as well. And after we drove past that, I kind of thought, it's not my home any longer. And it's not my home because my mother isn't there. And it wasn't the bricks and mortar that were the home. It was my mother that was the home. It was my mother that was the person who welcomed me in. It was my mother that made me roast lamb because she knew I loved it and nobody else in the house liked it. It was my mother who thought about and cared for me. And she did it in a very imperfect way, as all parents will do. But it was my mother who was my home. It was a person that is home. And that's what the psalmist sees there. In this passage, he says, God is our home. It's not a place so much as a person that is our home. We will go to God, and it's because God is there that it's special. And wherever God is, that's where our home will be, because he is there. And because he's our Father, and because he wants us to be there. He is our home. And this is what Jesus is referring to in the passage that he speaks to his disciples when he talks about, in my Father's house there are many rooms, in my Father's home there are many rooms, in my Father's heart there is much room. And that is where we are journeying towards. Now I want you to think about this just for a wee moment, about what a home is. I want you to imagine for a moment, I was trying to think back to when I was working, and I passed it just the other day where I was working in Glasgow, in Cathcart, away in the south side of Glasgow, and we lived away over in the west end of Glasgow, and it was two train journeys and a lot of walking to get to work every morning, and it would be an hour and 15 minutes to get from where we started off until where we finished. And I was thinking back to the days when we would come out in the winter at 5 o'clock and it would be dark and it would be cold, and we would wander down to Cathcart railway station and we would cram into a train, and then we would arrive at Central Station and have to walk from Central Station to Queen Street and cram into another train, and then get off at Partick. Sometimes I didn't get off at Partick. Sometimes I was so tired they woke me up in Dumbarton. But anyway, that was just that was just the occasional time that happened. And then we would walk from there another mile and a bit up to the house. Cold, and you were dying to get home. And when you got home, when you arrived home, there was immediate warmth when you walked in the door. The heating was on, and you smelled cooking as well. And a table was set. This is what happens in my home all the time, by the way. And a table was set. And the meal was there, and it was prepared. And so home was somewhere on a cold day when you were at the beginning of this journey, was somewhere that you looked forward to getting to. It was a long journey, and it was an arduous journey sometimes, and it was a cold journey, and you were cramped sometimes. But you knew there was an end to the journey, and you knew that you were going home, and you knew when you got there what was going to be there. And so I want to just seek these three things there. It was a place of security, a place where you knew you were safe, and you were in the company of other people who loved you. A place of security. And what Jesus is saying is that he is preparing that place for us. He is ensuring that place for us, so that death is not like falling off a cliff, but rather it is going to a more secure place. Coming, if you like, out of an insecure environment. The world in which we live is a very frightening and insecure place sometimes, isn't it? And yet we are encouraged by Jesus that despite the journey that we're on just now and all of the insecurities of that journey, we are going to an ultimately secure place. A place of warmth. A place of completeness. A place where the warmth of love will be. A place where we will be recognized and valued. A place that is our hope for the future. A place where we will be, as God's people, welcome. Now, people try to find meaning in this life in so many different and diverse kind of ways. And at the end of the day, meaning in this life can only be established if there is also meaning in the next. If there is meaning in what we describe as death, because it will open a door to something that is far better. And the amazing thing is this, you know, so many people fear death. It's like coming to a door, isn't it, and not knowing what's going to be on the other side of that door. And fearing death is reasonable. I think it's perfectly reasonable. But just imagine it like this, that you go to a door and you open it and there is this rapturous welcome. And for the Christian, that's what death is. It's not just some kind of somber entity. You know, some of the hymn writers have got an awful lot to answer for. You know, they talk about going over death's cold, sullen stream. That's not the way that Jesus describes it. It is a door that is flung wide open that says, welcome home. We're glad you're here. Fantastic to see you. Where arms will be thrown round you to reassure you of just how welcome you are. It's home. It's a place of security. And Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. He doesn't just say there is a place there. He's saying, I'm going to prepare that place for you. The wonderful thing about all of us is that we're the same but different. Every one of us have got some foibles about us and some differences about us that make us distinct from everybody else. And I wonder if what Jesus means here is this, that he will take cognizance of what matters to us most, and in doing that, he will prepare a place specifically designed for us. This is no going into Marks and Spencer's and getting a suit off the peg. This is going into a tailor's and having a tailor-made experience. And that's, in a sense, I think what Jesus is saying here, that that place will be tailor-made for you. And it will be more wonderful than anything you can ever, ever imagine. And I think it's a wonderful promise to know that somebody thinks so much about us that they're prepared to do that. This isn't just a casual, you fancy dropping in for a cup of tea. This is your final place, your home. And I'm going to make sure that you enjoy every single moment of it. And it's just perfect for you. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's describing here in this passage. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I know who you are. I know what you've been through. I know what you've dreamed of. And I'll just make it perfect for you. Forever. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come back for you. I will come back for you. And again, we go back to this basic fear that we probably all have. And maybe we don't want to talk about it or admit it. And maybe sometimes as Christians, we don't want to admit it because we think it would be to admit that there's a flaw in our faith for us to say that we're apprehensive about dying and about what happens when we die. But here is a promise. And the promise is that at the moment of our departure from this world, there will be a person there who will guarantee our safety and who will take us to that safe place himself. None other than Jesus. You might think, well, gosh, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of Christians die every day. How can Jesus possibly be there for every one of them? And yet his Spirit, he is God, the Son. His Spirit can guarantee his presence for every one of his children on that final journey home. Now, why does he say that he will be there? He says he will be there because it makes complete everything that he has promised himself with regard to us. If you like, it's the whole package. He's come down to earth. We're going to be celebrating that relatively soon at Christmas time. We remember his incarnation. He lived the perfect life for us. He died for us so that we might be forgiven. He rose again so that death might be defeated. And he will be there to make sure that all of these things that he promised and guaranteed are safe and secure, and can only be made safe and secure because of who he is. He will be there. You will not be alone at the moment when you die. Now, you and I have seen people die. I've seen many hundreds of people die. I've sat at their bedsides and I've watched them and prayed for them and been with their families. It's awesome, but it's a great privilege too to be there. And I don't think I've ever seen any Christian die in a way that would deny the truth of what's being said there by Jesus. He promises that he will be there at the very end to carry us safely to our home, our final destination. Whoever chose this passage, thank you for it. Because it's a passage that just breathes hope into our hearts. And when our lives are weary, as sometimes they are, and when we are doing good and doing what's right, and that can be so hard to continue to do, and when the way ahead looks so difficult sometimes and we fear the future, we have to put everything into context. And the context is that there is a place waiting for us that is so marvelous that nothing on this earth can compare to how wonderful it is. And Jesus asks us to keep that before us. Not so that we live with our heads in the clouds, but so that we are inspired on the journey to keep the faith, to continue the journey, and to do so with perseverance to the end, knowing that the final outcome is always, for God's people, truly wonderful.